Our family is modest. My mother is a cow. Or rather, my mother is a cow-faced fan.
Who is she? And does she also live behind her fan self?
A face before a face.
Who am I to say? We ask here, who are you?
She laughs, but receives offerings of a kind. We call her Holy One if we know her. Our small sanctuaries are empty, containing only my mother's horned face. Each of us gives what we have to offer. My offerings are returned to human beings as small truths, great truths, medium truths, or quite often as lies and fibs.
It all depends on what you do with them.
The offerings in the first place are quite devious.
Tears and honey, shrieks and tobacco burning, resin, chocolate, white nights, red ochre, whitewash, and soot. My purpose, however, is to tell how I went to question her and what she replied. This is what happened.
For years, I have been a prisoner of the people of the set now called the Watchers. These great hypnotists have no idols. Their magic is powerful and their appetite insatiable. They thrive on misery, but have great delicacy in choosing their victims. They evoke compassion, but have none themselves. They possess unlimited knowledge, but have no understanding. And this gives them the power of absolute, concentrated hate.
And so,
when I was captured, they called me Sin. They had forgotten that Sin was the name of a goddess they had murdered. Sometimes I remembered.
Sometimes I forgot.
I suffered intensely. This suffering produced a particular sort of food for them, which I mistook for a vitamin. I thought that if I gave enough, they would stop picking at my lunar plexus and be satisfied,
and perhaps richer. This, of course, was not so. I became progressively sicker. I called my mother's horned image and asked if she wished my death, and if not, to provide a cure. She said her disused sanctuary should be consecrated again, but the door should be closed, the new entrance spiral. Spiral, she said, like the umbilical ladder out of the human body. This, she added, is very holy. As long as the doors are closed, you will be safe, and I shall not leave you, she said. I did exactly what I had been told. The Watchers allowed the consecration after I paid 6 gallons of salted blood. A sailor from Ulysses' ship who had been a hero was also a captive of the Watchers. They made him a chartered accountant, but his memory was unimpaired. He remembered how my aunt had turned him into a pig for a joke, how her daughters, the sirens, had wanted to make love to him because the dolphins seemed impotent compared to the beautiful sailor. He was still angry, although wars at that time were close enough to nature for enemies to love each other. So we became friends under the hungry observation of the Watchers. The sailor remembered our small, empty sanctuaries from the past.
Never, never open those doors, he said, or you will be in danger.
He had my welfare in mind. His own small sanctuary was hermetically sealed, but the price had very nearly cost him his life.
I had only paid 6 gallons of salted blood.
This is just how things stood when a certain combination of stars produced events where the presence of the gods became directly discernible to certain human beings, those who took part in the dance, and others.
I took part and got bitten in the stomach by a man-eating shark disguised as a harlequin.
Every mistake we make in these dances must be turned into a question, otherwise they are fatal to our human condition.
The sailor who was watching the dance from the bar was horrified at my clumsy cavort and told me that at least my leg would get broken. He refused to join the dance. It had happened all too often, he said. I believed he was ashamed for me, since from the very first he had seen the harlequin as a shark.
I could only tell him it was not a real shark. I don't know if the sailor understood me as I kept leaving the cavorting herd to tell him the following.
That the ways of my horned mother were strange. The more ignorant we are, the closer we participate. But I have asked questions before, and so I know. I am dancing.
The sailor said, "Leave now, or you will probably break your neck."
I went on dancing in my grotesque disguise, but not before I told him, "I am lonely and miserable, but I am wearing my last skin. Since you are almost face to face with the gods, do not abandon me." In human language, this is called love.
Then I danced again on my burning feet, which became heavier and heavier until I was prancing like a cart horse on bleeding stumps. Then I made a wrong turn in the dance, and the watchers, dressed in executioner purple, stepped quietly into the whirling mob and put me in solitary confinement on a diet of putrefied shark meat. After I made my false step, I presented myself to the horned goddess. Her sanctuary was desecrated, the doors wide open. The floor covered with shark droppings, the hollows strewn about in chaos. My misery was so bitter that I was unable to handle the sacred broom. I stayed all night in the sanctuary, crying bitterly and imploring the presence of my mother, who had withdrawn. Here I sit, Holy One, in all my abandoned misery. Let me disintegrate in this most horrible suffering. Still, the goddess was absent. I cried and I threatened and I pleaded and I tried to dash my brains out on the wall. Only at sunrise did I remember that I had asked no question.
So I washed my hideously decomposed face and I presented myself once more before the horned image.
"Why am I human?" I asked. Now, the goddess has no mouth, no tongue, no vocal cords. Her presence defies description, but it is absolute. Therefore, I must pretend the following communication was in human speech.
This was her reply. To be one human creature was to be a legion of mannequins. These mannequins can become animated according to the choice of the individual creature. He or she may have as many mannequins as they please. When the creature steps into the mannequin, he immediately believes it to be real and alive. And as long as he believes this, he's trapped inside the dead image, which moves in ever-increasing circles away from great nature. Every individual gives names to his mannequins, and nearly all these names begin with "I am," and are followed by a long string of lies. I asked,
"What is the use of these mannequins, Holy One?"
And the goddess said, "Human beings could never communicate with each other if there were no mannequins. They could only unite in lovemaking or fighting in their bodies of flesh, blood, and bone. Through the mannequins, they can talk to each other, hypnotize each other, dominate each other, and in fact indulge in all the titillating activities, including suffering, happiness, aesthetic enjoyment, self-importance, politics, and football, etc." And I asked her,
"What is suffering?"
And she replied, "Suffering is death or disintegration of one or more of these mannequins. However, the more dead mannequins a creature leaves behind, the nearer she or he comes to leaving the human condition forever. The only trouble is that when a being is obliged to abandon the invented presence of a disoccupied mannequin, he or she is often quite busy again building bigger and better mannequins to live in.
Then all mannequins are vampires?
The goddess said. Mannequins are like the great Kabbalistic pentagon called death, impregnated with life, which whirls eternally through the 12 houses.
How can I leave the circle, Holy One?
When you die, you step out of the circle.
How can I step out of the circle with no feet?
I asked.
The goddess was pleased with such a malicious question, and her laughter was like rain on the roof of my head.
You must knit yourself a body with spider yarn, she said.
Of course I had realized this long ago, but had been woefully wasting my yarn on more and more mannequins. So bit by bit, I pulled back the strands, and now as I sit, I am spinning again, as the Greek sailor predicted. Here I sit in the ziggurat, knowing that I danced because that was the only way of killing another mannequin whose name was,
I am still rather attractive, and I will die if I don't get some human love. Everybody needs to be loved, no matter how old they are.
Besides, if I dance fast enough, I might even become liberated from the Watchers. The horned goddess, contrary to all expectation, arose again with the sun. But why am I human, Holy One? What have I done to deserve this?
Human means written in flesh. The word is pain and pain and pain again. Who was the Witch of Nazareth? A hieroglyph written in blood, which makes sense if the story starts with the crucifixion and is read progressively backwards. The Christ man was stripped of his father on the cross.
Then there is no learning.
There is none. Understanding is only that which is written in living primary matter. The primary shadowless beings are letters that make words you can't read. Their condition is constant suffering because they're naked and skinless. Their bloodstream is without defense.
Who are they?
Those who no longer pretend to know who they are.